So welcome, everybody, to another edition of the IIS Show. This is Brett Hill, roving IIS technical evangelist, and I have stumbled into Robert McMurray from the IIS team, and he has been on the IIS team, or working with IIS, for how long, Robert?
All the way back to IIS 1.0 on NT351.
Whoa, that's some depth. And you're still working on IIS now?
That is correct.
All the way up to IIS 7?
That's correct.
So you've seen it all.
I have. I've gone through everything from the monolithic stack to breaking everything out into application pools and multiple worker processes. So I've seen the whole evolution.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So I'm sure that if we had a little more casual situation here, that you have some great stories to tell. But I wanted to just chat with you a little bit about what your experience has been like working with IIS from, you know, beginning to the current version, and even, I know you're working on projects that even might even go beyond that. In terms of, I mean, you've seen the whole history of IIS from the very beginnings to ISAPI to the modules, and been through the whole security evolution, where security was kind of not even an issue, to becoming the number one issue. And I'm curious about that whole experience in what's it been like for you to be around all of this time with all of these changing priorities and focuses from the web server. You know, looking back and taking a look, what would you say are the key experiences or the key moments that happened there?
Well, when IIS first started out, I think it was more of a concept of we need a web server. You know, there was a practical cause for that. You know, we needed a web server. We needed a way that people could host pages off of a Windows platform. And as the product grew up, it really started to get into this mindset of, wow, how can we actually take this web server and load it with features that customers are really going to want?
And about what level was that?
About IIS 4, I think, is where we came out and we looked at it and we said, wow, we can really do things in a great way and make this thing a powerful application for serving content. And that's why 3 to 4 was such a major architectural change.
Because you introduced transaction server.
Exactly.
And when did ASP first come on the scene?
Well, ASP first came in the scene with IIS 3.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, amusingly enough, a joke at my own expense, when ASP was first introduced and somebody told me about it, I was a big fan of the Internet Database Connector.
Oh, the IDC.
IIS 2, I used that lots and had websites that were all 100% IDC. And somebody came along one day and said, oh, have you heard of this ASP thing yet? And I said, oh, no. And I said, yeah, we're looking at making a way where people can run VB in a web page. And I thought, well, that will never catch on. And I love to eat those words.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's very interesting. And so from there, so around IS4, it became, let's provide a lot of features. And IS4 did actually, I mean, considering, I think, its history, it did remarkably well. And in fact, I think around that time in the 2000 introduction of Windows 2000, IIS was actually the leader in terms of websites on the internet. And then 2000 came along, and of course that has its own remarkable history with IS5.
Correct. When Windows 2000 came out, it was great because this was really the first time where we had a marriage between IIS and an operating system where each could leverage the features of each other. So via exposing things like WebDAV, then the platform itself became another form of file store. So that was a great service we provided to the operating system. And then on the flip side, the operating system built in some great functionality that IIS was able to leverage, like the consolidated certificate storage, and being able to do things like digest authentication by integration with Active Directory. So that was really, really nice. And then we kind of followed that into IIS 6. There were great features in the operating system that now we could leverage from IIS and vice versa.
I see. So from the beginnings of actually deeper integration of the operating system was IIS 5. And 2003 was even more of that.
That's correct.
And so how does that look going forward with Longhorn?
Well, going forward looking at Longhorn, we are still very, very tied to the operating system. And, of course, there's features that we always leverage back and forth. And, of course, you know, some things are still in flux because we are still a ways away from shipping the server version. But we have a good partnership going on with the Windows group. And so it's nice to be able to leverage features back and forth and sit in on meetings and say, is there a way that we can expose this functionality? So
that's all good. So we're looking at just more, because we hear all the time, like, how come we can't have a version of iOS 7 that will run on, you know, Windows 98 or something like that.
Correct.
So you're talking about integration issues here, kind of driving against that portability, but providing greater access to features within iOS 7, like the authentication subsystem, the certificate store on the server.
Exactly.
Well, that's a great idea. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me in a lot of ways. I personally would like to see even more integration, and hopefully we can do more with that. So you're working currently on iOS 7, is that right?
That's correct.
And so I understand that you're working on some publishing stuff. Can you talk about that at all?
Specifically, the publishing technologies that I'm focusing on are FTP Web Dev and the front page server extensions. It's just there are many things that are in flux in that realm right now that we can't really tip our hand on that.
Well, I understand perfectly. This is a big issue with customers, and everybody wants to know how are we changing, what are we doing, and basically the word is we're looking at it. We are going to do something. But it's too soon to say precisely what.
By beta 3 of Longhorn Server should be the time when we can really start talking about these are our plans going forward and releasing something that customers can actually sink their teeth into.
Okay, that's good. Now, what about iOS 7 and Vista? Now, I understand that, Vista and there's a version of iOS 7 in Vista. Do you know the differences between that and the Longhorn Server version?
Well, from an API perspective, most everything should be the same. Something that you develop for Vista should work fine on Longhorn Server. There are server-specific features that we want to polish and certain things that we want to work on for IIS that will make it a better solution for a server space.
Uh-huh. Like remote content storage access and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, scalability, of course, and those kinds of issues all come into focus on the server. Right. And so a developer can go out and take the release candidate one that's coming up and, of course, RTM whenever it's shipped, and work on developing iOS 7 integrated applications and with a high degree of confidence that that's going to work on the server platform.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's great news. And, of course, with the extensibility that we've got in iOS 7, we're hopeful that that's exciting some developers. I know all the people I talk to about it are excited. In terms of that, what kinds of features are you liking the most in terms of iOS 7? What do you see the most potential for?
Well, having a background in writing iSAPI functionality for iOS, I wrote iSAPI filters and a few iSAPI extensions. Looking towards iOS 7 with the integrated pipeline and being able to write modules now that you can write them both in native code and you can write them in managed code, and they work for all of your request processing. It's much, much easier than iSAPI ever was. So it's extremely powerful. It's a really well thought out API stack. And like I said, in the past with ASP.NET, you had these great HTTP modules that only applied to your .NET requests.
Nice.
Now you can write a managed module that will actually pertain to all of your requests coming in. So that's a great new extensibility story. And the fact that you can now write modules in native code, I find extremely appealing.
So you can write in, you can take C++ and write code in that for a module?
Exactly.
So that would give you the native stack, performance and capability then to write something that hopefully would perform at least as well as an iSAPI then.
Yes. The difference is that when you look back at iSAPI, we really only exposed a couple of functions, and then we had a lot of things that you would bring in that were extended functionality through the server support function API. And now we've changed everything, and the native stack for writing modules is very analogous to the managed stack. It's not a direct you know, feature to feature match there. But it is an event-driven stack like the managed stack is for writing with. So now it's a matter of you write a module, it registers for which events it wants to listen to, and then you just write your event handlers. And it's pretty much as easy as that.
So events being like begin request and authenticate and send
authorize.
Requests, yeah. So you could write your own authentication method if you wanted to, not method, but module if you wanted to. And how's that different than the HTTP handlers?
Well, when you're looking at a handler is very much like a module, although it's usually tied to a particular content type. So, for example, .asp is a file type that would be tied to the classic ASP handler. And so you have a matchup there, very much like the old script mapping that we did in IIS6 and earlier. When you look at a module, that's for all requests coming in. Now, it's true that we did have wildcard mappings for handlers in the past. That is true, but it's much easier to write the module and plug it into that.
Well, yes, and the wildcard mapping was restricted, of course, to ISAPI, and it didn't have the ability to use all the modular, all the capabilities of like the .NET framework and everything.
Right. What was also somewhat limiting in the previous versions of IIS is when you would take a look at, let's say, like writing an authentication provider. So we already shipped several authentication providers in the box.
Right.
You know, we had anonymous authentication, we had basic authentication, we had our Windows integrated authentication, and we had Digest. So you have these authentication providers, and they were just there. Now, if you wanted to do something, like I've seen done often, like intercept the basic requests, you had to write an ISAPI filter that would listen for traffic coming in. You had to kind of steal the basic authentication functionality away from IIS through your filter, do what magic you needed to do, and that would work with the client. Now, to the client, that was always transparent. But to the server, when you think about it, you're kind of like trying to push IIS out of the way. And in 7, it becomes much easier. If you want to write your own basic authentication provider, you just unplug the built-in IIS one. You write your own module, and you plug it in place of what Microsoft has generated. So if you don't like the way we do basic authentication, that's fine. You can write your own. Digest authentication is a perfect example. Digest authentication in Microsoft's implementation, you require an Active Directory because we need a way that you can actually go back and look up the original password so that you can create the hash to do the MB5 comparison. For IIS 7, you can completely unplug our Digest authentication provider, write your own module to provide that functionality, plug it in place of ours, and you can use whatever data store you want. Mm-hmm. You don't need Active Directory. You could be an XML file. I think that would be a bad idea, but it just gives you the possibility.
Right. Well, that sounds, there's just so many possibilities, and of course, I'm looking forward to seeing what people do with this kind of thing. So are they, so right now, the IIS team is pretty much transitioning from Vista to Longhorn focus pretty exclusively right now, is that right?
Yes, that's, many things are locked down for Vista as we head into the release candidate phase.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that we're doing for polish, and there are some other things that we're doing, finding last-minute bugs that need to be addressed. And then the team will slowly move over to being very focused on server, and that's when we'll take a look at the specific features that were targeted at server and really try to get those finished by the time that we start getting into the release candidate phase for server.
So this is looking way far ahead, but is internally, are they talking about features and wish lists for IIS 8?
Well, I happen to know in my area, web publishing, there are some features that we definitely look at. We say, okay, we have this much of a time frame for IIS 7, and there's just great ideas that we keep coming up with. You have these whiteboard sessions where everyone just grabs a pen and starts drawing these great ideas. And there's a certain point where you have to step back and say, okay, this will logically take us 2 years to develop. So we need to decide what goes into 8 and what stays in 7. So There are definitely things that I particularly look at that I say this is probably going to be an IS 8 feature.
I see. Well, and that's probably how it all starts, you know, at the end of the dev cycle somewhere. They start pulling out all the paper napkins and everything and saying, yeah, here was an idea we had back whenever. And,
well, it's kind of interesting because some of the ideas are really industry driven.
Uh-huh.
For example, there's a couple ideas that we're looking at where there is no industry support for a couple of these ideas. And so if we release it for IIS 7, true, we could drive the industry, but is there really a point when you think about how long it will take for a client to catch up?
Mm-hmm.
Then we look at, we say, okay, if we have the time frame in the IIS 8 to get some of these ideas out in early betas, then people can develop for that, and then we'll actually have client support by the time RTM rolls around. So there's a couple of discussions that I've had currently with the Internet Explorer group, for example, where we're looking at particular features, and we're saying, okay, so for RTM, let's look at agreeing that we'll ship these features and you'll ship these features. And then come...
creating some browser web server synchronicity there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then some of these other ideas that, you know, because you know, the RFCs that drive internet functionality, they're constantly being released. So we keep our eyes on things that are in draft phase. And there's a couple of things that are in draft that we look at and we say, all right, this is a great idea. And post-release of IIS 7, you know, these will probably become RFCs. And at which point, Internet Explorer will have to incorporate those. And then we'll incorporate that into IIS 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat. I enjoy these wide-ranging discussions that, you know, have big scope because they're a lot of fun. And it's great to talk to someone who's been there from the beginning and all the way out into the future. So thanks a lot for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.